The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast. It is the next season, season four. Fourth year we've done this, guys. We got the whole squad, the whole team. It is late on a Monday for us to be potting. We have two grown-ass men potting from childhood bedrooms. One not their own, one their own. And then we got Michael and Dylan, who are just showing up as usual from their houses like true professionals. Me and Nick trying to figure it out on the fly. Guys, hey, how we doing? Michael, I'll start with you since you're my brother, and I feel like that's pretty respectful. You're at a wedding this weekend in Seattle. How was that?
Got in Seattle Thursday. Had a great time Thursday. Friday, went to the island where the wedding was. Had a great time Friday. Saturday was, you know, in the morning, we had a great time. Wedding comes, don't remember much of any of it at all. Woke up Sunday morning and felt absolutely terrible. So you could do with that what you will.
Yeah, you look like you drank zero beers this weekend too, probably. So
I cannot wait to not drink any alcohol for a while. Like I'm pretty done with it.
Michael had a counter going on his Instagram. Like he was literally counting beers.
You did a Wade Boggs?
No, misconception. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't counting how many drinks I had. I was counting they had all these different types of beers. So I was counting each different type of beer. They had like a pale ale, they had like an amber, a porter and stuff like that. But I did it was poorly worded on my part because I did get some people going like, you had five beers, like grow up.
Yeah, can't look sweet. I envisioned it as you were doing the digital version of every college sophomore going on a bar crawl when they just put the lines on their arms for how many beers they've had.
Right, and that's actually the thing is, it's a misconception because that was Friday night, and I woke up Saturday, I felt great. I actually went on a run on the island. It was beautiful. You didn't see anything Saturday night because I don't think I could have used my phone. I was full nonverbal.
So. He was 0-30-17.
Yeah, 100%.
John, you say that that's what sophomores in college do. Dylan did that last year for March Madness on a white
t-shirt.
No, he
didn't. It was 3 years ago, and an ulcer came from it, so we all learned from our mistakes.
God damn.
Dylan, I guess this is a great segue. What's been going on with you?
I won bingo for the first time.
Love that.
I know that doesn't sound as cool as it does, but it was at Leggett's, and it felt great.
The video that came from that was also pretty amazing. The one-man thrill ride that is your guys' friend who's a bartender there. I will say, and I know that you both are already on this, if we would ever get any type of following and actually got big, it is in your contract that our first live pod would have to be from Leggett's, I feel like, right?
Yeah, obviously. If we could take over the whole outside deck, it'd be great.
We know a few people.
Love it. Nick? You are obviously in transition right now, and by that I mean house-wise. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing, man. I'm pretty excited. It's a true first soccer day of the season. Just literally just got home from the first workout of the season with the high school team, and just loving living in the bedroom that Dylan used to occupy for the next, I think I'm down to 7 weeks now, so I'm not counting, but...
Oh, man.
I'll tell you what, though. The best part about this is Bill and Barb have way more of a social life than all of us. They're gone. Dude, they're in Chicago now for Springsteen. They're going to Pittsburgh for Springsteen. I think they're going with their Dogecoin to the moon for Springsteen. Like, I don't even know anymore, you know?
There's nothing that really grounds you in reality than your parents staying out at a bar on a Saturday later than you. That's when you know you hit 30.
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, my parents are the same way. Alexis's parents, we're 15 minutes from each other in Ohio right now. They're literally out every night. It does coincide with Hall of Fame weekend here, so they're a part of that. Nick, let me ask you a quick question, and I know both of our moms listen to this, so I hope I don't embarrass either of them. What's been the hardest thing so far to get used to being in the house? I can start with mine. If you open the fridge, you're not 100% sure if what you're looking at is of age, put it that way. It might be a little expired. If you know what I mean. My parents are pretty bad about that.
Yeah, no, we live in a very, you could probably do some surgeries in parts of the house around here. It's that clean. I think the biggest adjustment is definitely getting into the routines.
Yeah.
Walking around. Obviously, me being summer, my schedule's all over. And we're just going to keep it at routines because we'll save the rest of the list for off air.
I'll say, John, you're looking for like an actual good answer, and Nick just like completely went Derek Jeter on your ass.
Well, Nick showed his age. He's much smarter and wiser than all of us. And I know as soon as this pod's released, my mom's gonna knock on this bedroom door and say, "Why did you tell people that the milk was expired in the fridge?" So you know
what? And I'm gonna make it worse for you. I'm gonna win a point here. My favorite part is I've been getting up at 6 a.m. and having a cup of coffee with Barb every day. So that's been it's been a nice blast. Sit on the patio, have a little cup of coffee with Mom because you don't get to do that all the time. So
definitely,
the pod mom's getting some love here. So
love to hear it. All right, so we got a full pod. It is the season preview. We are going to go through our table predictions. We had a little bit of a tough time with that one this year, for sure. We're going to have a section where we talk about bold predictions, what we're excited about, team-wise, player-wise, and then we're going to talk some statistics and then give you our predictions for the first week of games. Nick, you also wanted to give a couple predictions for the pod or for us individually. Let's give you the floor. Let's have you start off the first segment of season four here with your thoughts on the NAFTA podcast and us as pseudo podcasters.
It's a new season. You know, everybody needs it's a rebirth. This is the time of the season that everybody thinks they're good and nobody knows that they suck yet. So that got me thinking, everybody needs to make some change. We're talking transfers, changes of strategy, coaches, managers, whatever. Well, what are we going to change, boys? This is our New Year's resolution time. So I think I'll kick it off with my first resolutions. I will do my best to not make a pun out of everything and cut off Dylan. Those will be my two resolutions for this year. So
I love that. I think Dylan likes that more, but again, I cut Dylan off, so we're back to square one here.
So we'll kick it over to Dylan. We'll give him the floor, and everybody will hit the mute button. Dylan?
Yeah.
What are you going to do better this year?
I mean, I'd love to say I'm going to pronounce everyone's names better, but we all know that's just a promise I can't keep. So I will make sure to not call Palace Crystal once this year.
Damn. That's actually like, that's going to be tough for you.
I know
it is. That's going to be really hard. Michael, you got a New Year's resolution?
The only thing I can think of that I already thought of coming into this podcast, not knowing that Nick was going to say this, was everybody knows, especially John and I on this podcast, are very biased towards a couple teams, or maybe a little bit biased to our own teams. I told them at the beginning of this podcast, this list isn't a guess. This is what's going to happen. So I promise to give you completely unbiased, Michael, at least until Boxing Day, and then I might just revert back.
Okay, love that. I think what I will promise is I'm not going to complain about editing as much as I did last year.
I knew
year.
That was coming.
not gonna complain about that. And on the other hand, I am going to try really, really hard to stay on top of these segment-type situations that we have going on so that we actually have a plan of attack when we pod instead of... You know, we've done pretty well just jumping on here, four dudes winging it, but... I think if we had a little guidance, it might get a little bit more traction.
It's time to grow up. Time to grow up, yeah. Guys. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, exactly. look at the two grown men living in their parents' houses right now.
great, we just
scream mature.
What are we, Peter Pan, Count Dracula?
We most certainly are Peter Pan and Count Dracula. Great segue. Let's jump into predictions. Let's have everyone go through theirs one at a time, and then we can kind of dissect it afterwards in bits. Dylan, because it is, you know, we're well aware that Nick, myself, Michael, we tend to cut you off. Your usage rate on the pod was the lowest last year, and we got to up those numbers. Those are rookie numbers. you go ahead and lead us off with your table.
I really didn't want to go first because I might make five more changes. I think I said to you guys, I hate my table, which I think makes me love it because I feel a complete ick about every single one of my picks and where they have. Do you want me starting from the bottom or the top? I guess the bottom. It's more fun that way. All right. I'd also like to preference, I had four different teams in the 18 hole. So just know it's subject to change at any point. But 20th, Sheffield United. They just sold their best player. I think they're completely still a championship squad. And as someone who knows and watches a team that can't score, I also think they can't score. So they're in 20th. This will come in one of my bold predictions, but 19, we have Luton Town. I'm going to be rooting for them. I just don't think I think that they're building a team that can parachute down and come right back up, is my opinion there. In 18th, out of the four teams that we settled on, I decided I still don't like Morgan Gibbs-White, so Nottingham Forest, you are going down. And you might be wondering why I'm wearing my Black Wolves jersey. It's because call an ambulance, but not for me. We will be staying up. So in 17th, I have Bournemouth. They were also put in the relegation zone at one point. In 16th, we have the Wolves. I've talked myself into about 13 down all suck, so I'm just hoping we're not as sucky as everyone else. 15th was Fulham. They also found the relegation zone in one iteration of this. Then we have Everton, because Hank needs a win. West Ham also found themselves in the relegation zone, and we took them out. Crystal Palace in 12th, because that's just where they always are. 11th is Brentford. My big surprise is in 10th is Burnley, potentially top 10 to come out. Then in 9th, we have Spurs, and I'm assuming, well, I guess Harry Kane's not going, but even if he's there, I just think that they're Spurs, and it's not going to work out. 8th, I have Brighton. 7th, there's some regression, and we have Newcastle. There we go. That's the face I wanted. In 6th, as much as they are a rival, and I don't want them to do well, I think Aston Villa is going to have a good season and come in 6th. And then in 5th, I have Liverpool. In 4th, I have Chelsea. In 3rd, I have Man United. And then in 2nd, I have Man City. And in 1st, I have Arsenal. Would you like me to dive into that, or would you like me to wait?
No, no. We're going to go. We're going to do a full lap, and then we're going to come back to it. I'm sure no one on this podcast is going to have any words for you there. Michael, we'll go Tucker Whitaker, Tucker Whitaker. Michael, give me your table.
Starting at the bottom, Sheffield United. Luton Town, 19. I'm bound to get it right on the third try. Everton, 18th. Wolves, 17th. Nottingham Forest, 16th. Palace, 15th. Fulham, 14th. West Ham, 13th. Bournemouth, 12th. Brentford, 11th. Burnley, 10th. Newcastle, 9th. Spurs, 8th. Brighton, 7th. Villa, 6th. Chelsea, 5th. United, 4th. Liverpool, 3rd. Arsenal, 2nd. City, 1st.
We have some same things.
Yeah.
I liked your table. Yeah. A little bit. There are some parts I didn't like, but
I'll explain it.
Nick, go ahead. Hang on.
Let me make my last change again. All right. So we've got Luton Town in 20th. Bournemouth is going to be going down in 19th. 18th, Sheffield United. That was very similar to Dillian, where I couldn't figure out that 18 spot was about four or five different clubs. I put West Ham at 17, Wolves at 16, Everton at 15, Forest at 14, Fulham at 13, and the next three, as everybody else, is Palace in 12th, because Palace going to Palace. And just like Michael and Dillian, I have Brentford in 11th and Burnley in 10th. I have Spurs in 9th, Villa in 8th, Brighton in 7th, Newcastle in 6th, Chelsea in 5th, Liverpool 4, United 3, and then Arsenal 2, City 1. But that was, I could very easily flip those two.
I look forward to hearing why that is in a second. All right, let me run through mine. I got Luton dead fucking last. Sorry, Mom. I've been good about cussing. That one needed to come out. I got Sheffield 19th, and for the reasons that Dylan had them in 20th is why I have them in 19th. I just think Luton's maybe worse. Look, Dylan and I met on a nice day in Hoboken. We went to the Hamptons together. He's been to my wedding. I've been to his wedding. Wolves in 18th right now, and I say that with a really, really heavy heart because I do think it's going to be a battle with Everton in 17th. I got Forest in 16th, Burnley in 15th, Bournemouth in 14th, Fulham in 13th, West Ham 12th, Crystal Palace 11th. I think I'm going to switch that so Palace is 12th. I got Brentford 10th, Brighton 9th, Spurs 8th, Newcastle 7th, Villa in 6th, Chelsea in 5th, Man United in 4th, Arsenal in 3rd, Liverpool in 2nd, and Man City in 1st. Look, I like the variation. I like that in that middle of the table, we were kind of aligned on things. We're a little jumbled. No one has the same relegation, it looks like. No one has the same top four. Let's start 20 to 15. And Michael, you're the best at letting sparks fly on this podcast. Do you want to defend one of your positions? Do you want to tell someone they're an idiot for one of their positions? Let's go after it.
100%, write it down, Bournemouth will not be close to getting relegated.
I agree with that.
Michael B. Bournemouth won't let it happen.
Dylan, first of all, you have them 17th.
Yeah, but they're going to be, but they're going to fall in the 17th because they're safe and stop playing towards the end. They're going to be at the beach.
Okay. Okay. There are some teams that we can, I mean, you said 15 down. I think Palace, if they lose one of the two guys, I think they're in trouble. Nottingham Forest, I actually think 16 is a little bit low for them, depending on how Morgan Gibbs-White scored the highest percentage of goals in the Premier League. Like, he was involved in the highest percentage of his team's goals in the Premier League. He is their guy. If they keep Brennan Johnson, I think they're fine. They could actually do better. I'm lowballing it with 16. The Wolves-Everton one, I'm doing it because I love you, Dylan.
Damn. Way to throw me to the fucking gallows there, dude.
And because I think you beat Porto recently. And they actually started a few of their first teamers, but the only thing I'm looking at is like Dylan and Nick, Bournemouth 17. Nick, you have them getting relegated. They won't be close. They're gonna have a good year.
We got to go to you because you're the guy with them in the relegation. Defend that a little bit, and then you can jump into anyone else's predictions here too.
Oh, I think that Bournemouth is just all over the freaking place. So I think that they will. I don't think that they had, last year they struggled significantly once pressure got on them towards the end of the season, and I just don't see the momentum that they had, the little run they had going on to save
Nick,
them.
As a fellow old, let me come to your defense here. Jefferson Lerma, their player of the year, gone.
Yeah.
He's at Palace.
Was he actually their player of the year? Is that you
fans,
saying it?
Fans voted player of the year.
Because their best player was Philip Billing, for sure.
Fans voted player of the year.
Fans are dumb.
It's real.
We've entered Michael's never wrong era.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry.
No. So I think right now, as we said before we hit record, like, you got to watch for the first 2 weeks and figure it out. But they're a club, I think, that you always got to keep them in the conversation, especially they were very rocky up and down, very inconsistent last year.
I only have Bournemouth in 17th. Because apparently Gary O'Neill might be my new head coach or manager. So for what they did to him, I had to make him 17th.
But I think the one thing that I noticed is I'm just kind of shocked that I'm the only one that put West Ham anywhere near the bottom, considering they lost easily their best player their potential next two signings are going to be one, Harry Maguire and Scott McTominay, where McTominay is definitely a, I think he's a fine fit there, but dude, Harry Maguire, if you have watched any of the preseason stuff, which I'm sure I don't expect you guys to, at this point, he has looked so bad. Like he's looking like relegated Hull City, Harry Maguire. Like, it's bad. So if they're going to spend almost $80 million on those two, and if United doesn't take it, they're the biggest, well, you can never be surprised with them with transfers, but West Ham's gotten worse, and they struggled through last, and they limped through last year, and they lost their best player.
And they got the Europa League still coming this year that they have to play
into. Yeah, they're going to be so spread thin. There's no way they're not at least in the conversation.
They also have more probably in-house drama than the Wolves do right now as well. So, like, I actually agree with Nick. I don't know. Seriously, I think they do, where I just need to put them somewhere on the table, and last time I had them at the bottom, it didn't work out. So, like, that's the only reason why. But I think you're spot on.
And I'll go one step further to say David Moyes is the number one in the hot seat for first pink slip of the season.
Ooh. Save it for bold predictions, dude. Come on.
I don't think it's that bold.
let me take us further down. We'll do 14 to 10, 15 to 10, whatever it may be. Dylan, is there anyone's table that is sticking out to you and you're just like, how is this possible? Or is there anything on your table that you're like, look, I'm a genius for putting these people in 12th, Crystal Palace? Go off.
I think, honestly, because we all have pretty much relatively the same middle there, I think my two... Probably laugh at me. I think my two call-ups are, we have Brentford like in that 11th, 12th spot. I think they end up having a rough start to the year, and then Ivan Toney comes back and they kind of figure it out again. But like, I also like, I wouldn't be shocked if you see them hanging around the bottom and then all of a sudden make a run. And then I think Burnley, from things I've been listening to some other like podcasts and shows as well, like. I think people don't think Burnley will translate coming up in terms of the fact that they were a team that liked to have possession and were attacking the championship, where obviously you can't do that here when you're playing the likes of, you know, a Liverpool, City, United, anything like that. However, I think this is a situation where that 10th comes from the fact that I think their manager, like, I think company gives them a tactical advantage that just boosts them, like, three or four spots on my table than where I probably actually would have had them.
Yeah, I guess I'll go now, and that's a good talking point that you brought up, is Burnley. I'm the only person that has them not 10th. You all three have them 10th. I have them 15th, and I'm probably the biggest company stan here. I think I'm a little concerned that he is such a media darling right now, as a coach, that it may be not there yet. I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be really hard for any of these promoted teams to do as well as the three last year, for sure. And I think 15 might look pretty low on this table right now, but I don't think they're ever going to be in danger of getting relegated. I think the relegation battle is 16 down. Every team on mine, 16 down. I'm like, you're going to be in the bottom three at one point. I don't think 10th. I think 10th is like, that's an incredible year for company.
Well, that's because I think to your point, I think anyone on my table 12 down could get relegated.
Interesting. Michael, do you have anything to add there? You look like a shark that smelled blood.
So the way I'm viewing it right now, Burnley lit up the championship.
Yeah, sure.
Think about the teams that came from the championship the year before. Fulham, you know, they popped up, had a great year. They don't look as good. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at them going down. I think those teams that kind of hold the center, for instance, like Palace at 12, they're not looking... Again, this is... I'm kind of taking a little bit... If I had to, like, submit this right now, I think they lose Olise or Eze. One of them. I'd probably not Eze. He's like the talisman. Olise, I think they might lose. Yeah. I think they're going to struggle. I think Brentford without Tony is going to struggle. And Bournemouth, I think, like I said, is going to be a little bit better. I think it's like a perfect opportunity for Burnley to come in and just kind of fill in right in that spot. Plus, the first game's at home. I think that they could just kind of build some momentum right out of the gate like Fulham did last year and just ride it out.
Yeah. All right, let's go 10 to 5. Michael, I'll have you start this one off, this segment, 10 to 5. The teams that aren't in the Champions League, the teams that are battling for Europe, what is a shock? What do you want to defend?
So you might think out the gate it would be me going after Dylan having Liverpool fifth. I actually don't think that's that ridiculous. Everybody kind of, I mean, maybe Nick is the only one that has Newcastle in like the Europa League in the top six of that. I think we're all pretty down on Spurs too. I think Spurs finish ahead of them though. I think their squads are like very similar. Spurs are not playing any European football. I think Ange is a good coach. I think Newcastle will have a decent run in the Champions League, but I think people started figuring them out at the end of last year. I think they'll struggle a little bit, and I think the top like nine teams are like really, really good.
Nick, you're the one guy that doesn't have Villa in the top six.
Yeah, I'd say we're all pretty high on Villa. I'm gonna reverse on you here because I put Newcastle in sixth. I don't think Newcastle makes it out of the group stages, so I don't think that Europe is going to be an issue for them, to be honest with you. So I think that
Europa.
No, they're in Champions League.
Champions League.
I know, but you don't think when they won't come in third to be able to go win Europa then?
Oh, true.
Oh, good point. No, that's a fair point. That's a good point. I have Zillow brain today, so you know, I guess I couldn't figure it out. But I think at that point, because it's not like, shit. Yeah, it's a pretty good freaking point. Because if you look at like if a City or an Arsenal, those guys, they drop down, like in Liverpool, they wouldn't take it as seriously as if Newcastle drops down. They're like, dude, we need to go win a trophy. I still think that there's less pressure that way. I think Newcastle, I think Eddie Howe, I've always been very high on Eddie Howe. I think he's an outstanding manager. I don't agree with some of the transfers that they made, but I still think they're a very, very good team, and they got some much needed depth. So I think they're gonna wobble a little, but they'll be okay. I think Villa's very good, don't get me wrong, but I think they're right where they should be. They'll battle for that 6 to 8. You know, I think that 6, 7, 8 spot could be really up for anything. Like Spurs are out of that top six, and as Michael had said, 1 through 9 is very competitive. I think 1 through 5 is generally set. So that 6 to 9 spot could be really, it could all be in the matter of two or three points.
I know we find out in week one, and also we saw them in preseason. I know it doesn't mean much, but like I thought Villa was the better team on the field than Newcastle when we saw them live, which is partially where my decision went on the table.
So Newcastle went out for cheesesteaks the night before, I heard. That's why they were a little slow.
At John's. Michael and Dylan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think all three of us thought that was the best team of all six teams there that weekend.
I think Villa's our Brighton this year.
Let's do top four. Let me repeat. Michael, myself, and Nick have City in first. Dylan's. Yep.
Can top we do five. Top? We should do top five just so, because I'd like to talk about Liverpool a little bit.
Top five. Michael, myself, and Nick have City winning it. Dylan's got Arsenal. I got Liverpool in second. Michael's got Arsenal in second. Dylan's got Man City. Nick, you also have Arsenal. And then it's a mix of Arsenal, United, Liverpool, Chelsea getting in the Champions League, but then also Chelsea just missing out in fourth. So we're talking about these five teams that are all, you know, within the shout for all of us. I'll throw this in the air. Who wants to go first here? I think, Dylan, you got the most unique one. You should probably start us off.
So with Arsenal, I would like to throw out there, I think they're either going to come in first or they're going to come in third. I don't think there's an in-between, because there's a point where I had Man United in second at one point, but then I remember we're in year three of our bet, so I obviously couldn't do that, and I need that to come through. But, like, I just want to throw out there, I know City's going to win it, but that's no fun, and we need to pick someone else. And I actually think, like, I think Arsenal, I can't see Arteta failing again, slash, I think they brought in the proper reinforcements, and having blown it, I think, like, there's a different mindset in the locker room to potentially actually go on a run and win. I'm probably only 60% confident in saying that, if I'm being fully transparent, but I think they are the team that at least can give City the best fight again this year. And the reason why I had Liverpool in it and then dropped them out, Michael can probably tell me I'm wrong because I haven't watched all the games. I just think your back line is still giving up too many goals, and I think that's what's going to end up screwing you guys up. However, I could see with how your guys are meshing on the attack, you could also score 5 goals every game potentially, and that could save you. But that's kind of where my thoughts at.
I'm not trying to cut you off, Michael, but if I may, let me defend you. I personally think I'm disappointed in Michael for having Liverpool third. I think Liverpool is going to score the most goals this year. And it's not even close.
Why do you take my shit, bro?
I think that offense is going to be so good. I think it's going to be Mike D'Antoni just soccer offense. They're going to give up goals for sure, but I think that front line is going to be the best front line in football.
I think that's fair. My last comment before you tell me I'm wrong about everything is I just want my disclaimer to be I think 1 through 5 could finish in any order. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
So, as I said, I answered Nick's question very honestly. I'm taking the bias out of this. While we 100% could score 100 goals this year, we could score the most goals in the league, you guys might not give up 20.
Stop taking my bold predictions.
Well, there you go. You should have said it. You guys might not give up 20 goals. I'm also going to say it right now. If we don't sign another midfielder, we might be out of the top 4 again. And if that happens, if we don't get Champions League this year, if we don't win a trophy this year, Klopp's gone.
Stop taking all my shit.
All right. I'll ask this real quick because we do want to touch on these again so that Dylan can give his side of the story. Klopp gone on his own accord or Klopp fired?
Gone. They won't fire him. It'll be like a we decided to part ways thing. He's irritable as shit now. I'm not talking about the fucking everyone losing their mind because he told the kid to hold the fucking shirt still when he was signing it. That's stupid. I don't care. He's sick, dude. We had 2 times that FSG have come out and said, we're signing up, we're making a huge investment, we're going to like make sure the year after we won the Premier League, we're going to make sure we won it again. The biggest signing we had was Minamino. They said the same thing this year. We can't buy Bellingham because he's too much money. We couldn't buy a Gvardiol because he was too much money. We couldn't buy Thuram because he was too much money. And they said this is going to be a generational rebuild in the midfield. We've signed 2 guys. It's been like a month and a half now. We're not going to pay $8 million extra dollars for Lavia. We're gonna have Curtis Jones. And I love Curtis Jones. He can't play CDM back there.
True.
So third is I think the only team that can beat you guys. I don't think Arsenal can. I think Arsenal punched so far above their weight last year that these signings, they're gonna take them back to that consistent, like that level consistently, more consistently. But if it's not gonna mesh right away. I thought they looked bad in the Community Shield game. I thought you guys also looked bad, but you guys just won't. You're not going to give up goals. Like, it's just not going to happen. You're going to play Luton Town. Luton Town will not get close to scoring a goal. I mean, yeah.
That's a poor example.
This is what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you had way. You could have picked Man United if you wanted to. I mean,
well, there's going to be games where, like, you guys, you'll tie 1-1. This is the year you should have said, we might not lose a game because. For a team to score 2 goals on you, it's going to be unbelievably hard.
The episode's not over yet. He still might say that.
Didn't Arsenal just put up 3?
TKs, dude. Relax. Yeah. All right, Nick. You've been relatively quiet, barring that comment. I want to hear you talk about your team.
Well, I just want
to. United doesn't get to skate by anymore. You're in the Champions League. Like, you got to defend these guys.
I just want to point out that we all put Chelsea in. Way higher than we're all just like, yeah, we're back in the mode of it's Chelsea. They can't be this bad, right? Like we're back. We're right where we started again last year.
Yeah. True.
I think the potential is super exciting with United. Signing Rasmus Højlund. Michael, can you just for once correct me here? It's Højlund? Højlund, right? Okay, just wanted to make sure. But signing a true striker. Again, he's only 20. It's going to take some time, and there's a huge price tag. Like, you know, obviously, is he Haaland? No. But does he have the potential to be, like, something like that? No, but he could be pretty. Yeah. He could be pretty good.
Also no.
Yeah, it's one of the last vows you recite, right? He'll be good. Like, again, like, we don't need, if he can give us, you know, 15 to 20 goals, you know, I think that's massive, you know, and you allow Rashford to play on the left. Guys play more natural positions. I just think the depth in the midfield, we need to get Arbat, or Abarat, I can't say that one, I'm definitely going to butcher, from Fiorentina.
Arbat,
whatever. It's been a long day. But
Amberbat,
thank you, sorry. I'm thinking of Sandbat, you know. I'm thinking of, like, Barry, what kind of bat Barry Bonds was using. I just think that signing Onana was good. It's a huge, huge upgrade for the way we want to play. And I think that there will be one more big signing coming, just because if they do move Maguire and McTominay and then Fred, these guys are worrying, it frees up another $125 million that we can spend. Would be super interesting. But I think that they're gonna be a lot tougher. We have to defend better. And we have to put some more, be a little more clinical. But I think that potentially, Dylan said, are we challenging for City? No. But do I think we can definitely put ourselves in second place? I think we're on the way there. We're like 80% of the way to where I think we could say, like, oh, we're back. So, you know, not like last year's back, like where we're relevant again, like actually back challenging for titles.
Look, don't get it twisted. Our pronunciations might not be on point, but I will continue our theme of last year. We know ball. We do know what we're talking about. With that said, you guys have teased out a few of them. I want to do bold predictions. I want to go one at a time around the room, let fly your top one, and then we can keep doing as many circles as it takes to get Dylan and have all 25 of his get out. But bold predictions, Dylan, since I know you got a lot in your chamber, you lead us off.
I guess I'll do this because it was already kind of said. This will be the final year of Pep and Klopp both coaching in the Premier League.
You're going to leave it at that?
Yeah, that's my bold prediction.
Yeah, he's leaving it open-ended. Pep could get fired mid-season, you know?
Yeah.
No, okay. I think this is Pep's farewell tour, and regardless of what happens, he's out. Especially if you end up winning it, it's four in a row. He's literally at the top of done everything. Then he'll take a year off and come coach the U.S. And then Klopp, reason why is because if they don't get in the Champions League off of here, kind of to Michael's point, I think he's gone. I think the frustration happens, he's done.
Michael, bold prediction number one for you.
I'll say that it'll be the lesser of the cups. Aston Villa win the Carabao Cup.
Wow. That's cocky. That's a cocky prediction. Nick, bold prediction number one.
Richarlison gets no less than 3 yellow cards for goals that are disallowed.
That's not even bold. That's just like...
That happened last year.
That's a minus 120.
Not only is that not bold, Nick has been searching every betting site to see if anyone has that up so he can try to cash in on it. Look, I don't know if this is bold either. I think Luton Town break the record for least amount of points in the Premier League.
Was that Derby? Derby was, what, yeah. 12 or something, right? In 08?
I think it's like 12 or 8, somewhere around there. I think that we're all excited to have this team up. It's a new team that hasn't been in the Premier League since we've done this podcast. They are charming. They have a great little stadium going. But I just think between them, like, it's just not going to happen.
11.
Dylan.
I'll one-up you and say Luton Town won't win a single game on the road, but will take down 2 Big Six teams at home.
Love that. Love that. Michael, prediction number two.
Sorry, I'm looking at us bidding $5 million under the asking price yet again for a third time.
Yeah, if it makes you feel better, Michael, we've done that for Alex Scott 3 times. It still hasn't worked out, so I get it.
The Luton Town thing, I think you're maybe underestimating how tough it is to, like, go probably to that place and play. I bet, like, you hear Pep, dude, listen, Pep complains about, like, the pitch and shit all the time, as well as Klopp. Like, they're gonna fuck around with you, like, immensely. They're gonna get some weird draws, they're gonna get some weird wins. I still think they get relegated. I think this is, I'm trying to go off the top of my head here, we have a plus 20 extra time game in the Prem this year.
Oh, ooh. I think that's a great prediction. I think that will happen. Nick, bold prediction number 2.
I'm going to follow up on that, actually, off of Michael's. I was going to say there will be at least 4 games that have a 100th minute or later game winner, and at least one that has multiple goals after 100 minutes.
Love that. All right, my bold prediction number 2. Luton Town and Sheffield United combined will have the least amount of points a bottom two teams will have. I do think these are the two worst Premier League teams we've seen up here in a while. And Dylan, there's part of me that I really might be switching Sheffield United the next week over, like, under Luton Town because of them selling their 2 best players. I just think these 2 teams are going to get dog walked every week, home, away, neutral, doesn't matter.
So can't wait till they beat City first time.
I hope you're right, because this is kind of what I was telling myself as a Wolves fan, being like, 2 teams kind of already knocking themselves out. You just have to not be the worst, like, out of the rest. Yeah. Like, just don't be the absolute worst.
Yeah. You got a third one?
I have 2 more, or 3 more.
Okay.
But you lead me into it, is I think to not get relegated this year, you will need 38 points or more.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Dylan, or Michael?
I might do a little bit of overlap here just to, you know, save myself if one of them doesn't happen. Champions League, all English. Sorry, European Cups, all English.
All 3?
Yep.
All 3?
Yep.
Do we have 2 teams in the Conference League?
No, but Villa will win it.
Okay. Emery.
Yeah, Emery's doing the Conference League. Okay. No. All Europe. It will be Villa. It'll be us or Brighton, or if one of you guys drop down, probably you guys, and then I think it'll be City again.
Interesting. I think that's... I said it on a pod I did today. That's so hard to predict who's actually going to win the Champions League. It's just...
So am I just the like, wild predictor now? Like, Dylan lost his title.
It's maybe. Maybe. Nick,
I didn't see. I didn't see you tug City not to win at all.
Yeah. I'm Nick, not do you have psycho. A third bold prediction?
I do have a third one, but a quick little antidote one is Michael's become an Anglophile. That's not even a prediction. That's a... moment of fact here, but Harry Kane will sign a pre-contract in January and refuse to play the second half of the season.
Wow.
That would be awesome. Oh.
Damn, I like that one. Michael, a fourth European tournament away from becoming a Tory, also like that one. I have my third bold prediction. I will be in attendance in Hoboken and in some early spring weekend to watch Everton and Wolves play a 6-point relegation decider. And
that's a guarantee.
I will, and if this is happening, I can promise you one thing. I want Hank there. I want you there. I will pay for all the beer.
I'll see you at Mulligan's.
All right, perfect. Love that. I know you got a few more. Dylan, rattle off your 2, and then we can exhaust everyone else's if they have any more.
My only other one was, I was bold prediction is that City will tie the record of least conceded goals in the season at 15. And then the other one was going to be for the boys that all 4 of us will go above 500 on our season predictions.
Ooh, I like that. I don't know if that's possible.
Counting Europe, because we did that last year.
No, like only Premier League.
Okay.
That's all the only thing we haven't gone over.
Michael. I think I exhausted them. I think I'm okay. Done.
Nick.
No, I'm good.
All right, I didn't have any either. Dylan, our biggest bold predictor. Oh, you got one more, Michael?
Wait, can I still count the ones I didn't do in segment that will score the most goals and you will give up less than 20?
Sure. I mean, if you want to co-sign one of Dylan's.
You can co-sign my 15
we
can, one.
We can come together on that.
What's the meme? The white hand and the black hand?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right.
You can't do it this way. It's like that.
Though. No, it's tough. It's tough when you're doing it to yourself. Pause. Bold prediction's done. I want to ask everyone on the pod, what is the team they're most excited to see outside of their own? What's the player they're most excited to see outside of their own? Who is, Bill Simmons used to call it for the NBA, the league pass team for you that you're going to tune into outside of your own team? Nick, I don't think you've let off a segment yet. Let's go to you first.
Player, I'm going to be a little bit of a homer here. Hoyland, obviously, looking forward to that. I actually did write down Alexis McAllister as a 1B just because I loved watching him play at Brighton, and having Klopp and a much better team around him, I think he's a super exciting player to watch play. So, team I'm excited to watch. Hopefully Brighton, because that just means I have more EPL games on in the morning, so I'm allowed to watch a few more. But I think Newcastle is going to be interesting to watch. I enjoyed watching them play. And watching them in person, while watching Alexander Isak move in motion, that dude is so damn lanky and so tall, and he's pretty damn smooth. But I'm gonna go with Villa. I'm gonna go with Villa. I think Villa is gonna be super interesting to watch. I took Michael.
Pick a team.
I don't want to pick. I'm just happy.
It's the segment.
I'm just happy the season's back. All right. Can't I just be happy that the boys are back? Footy's back.
You don't get to pick all the teams.
All right.
When
fine.
You go first.
Fine. I'm excited to see Burnley. I will pick Burnley.
All
right. He didn't even mention them.
Jesus Christ.
We are back at full strength podcasting wise. We haven't lost any time on that. Michael, who are you excited for?
Well, he went down my damn list.
I'm the appetizer.
As a team, I'm gonna pick Villa. I think they're gonna be the most fun. I think we can tease the next little part here. I think they lose their first game, but I think they're gonna be real fun to watch. And then player wise, we're gonna go to Brighton. We're gonna go João Pedro. I think he's gonna be very, very good. I was telling my friend at the game, he's gonna be very interesting. And I think you could even go him and Ciso for Brighton. I think they're gonna have big ears. I think they're big fantasy Premier League pickups as well.
Love it. Our fantasy draft coming later this week. Dylan, who are you excited about?
I feel like we have all the same teams that we'd be excited about, so let's... I think the Spurs are going to be a dumpster fire. I want to watch them. That's just fun. I'll go the other way with it. I'll just watch the team collapse while I'm watching my own, so that'll be good.
I'm sticking with the gallows humor. I think Sheffield United and Luton are going to have multiple games where they're down 6 goals. I really think they're bad. I just... really think
these
two teams
know.
Yeah.
Are not very good.
Nowhere.
Speaking of, and player I think I'm most excited for, man, you know what, I do, it's interesting, none of us are really that high on Newcastle. I think Nick had him the highest, we mentioned before. I do want to see if Tonali transfers, if picking up a top player from like an AC Milan or an Inter actually translates to the Premier League. I think Onana is going to be great. I think goalkeeper's kind of a different type of setup, but I think if you're putting someone right in the middle of the pitch, right in the middle of the field to play, I think that's going to be interesting. Speaking of exciting players, if anyone thinks Haaland's not getting the golden boot, speak up now, because I do want to hear about that. But I think it would also be interesting and fun if we picked who we think's going to go second in the golden boot race. So anyone not picking Haaland?
He doesn't get as many as he did. I don't think it's 30.
But you think he's going to have the most?
I think it'll be real close, but yeah, I think he's the striker in the best team, and they're going to play the ball to him. I think it's stupid not to pick him.
Yeah. All right, so if we're going to pick who has second, I haven't started a segment off at all. I'm going to start this one off because I think I might be taking Michael's, and that's always funny for me. I think Darwin Nunez has the second most amount of goals in the Premier League, and I think that I think he's going to be exciting and fun to watch.
He might not play. I don't think he's starting right now.
He's going to play into it.
All right. if I'm picking second, I mean, Salah. I think that there are two, and I'll let you guys continue this segment on, but I think Salah is probably your best bet for two. And then I think that there are Luis Diaz could be dark horse player of the season. If we perform how we can, he could. I mean, he's been outrageous in the preseason right now. If he has a full year, I think he could be like really, really trouble.
Plus, I think you can't pick Kane because we know Nick's bold prediction will happen, and therefore Kane was a half season out.
Yep, I agree.
So Nick, I'll go to you next. Who gets second?
Homer pick. Rashi's going to blow up this year. It's the season he becomes the world's a world beater.
40!
40!
Love that. Dylan, you get second.
I mean, obviously it's Fabio Silva. He's going to have his breakout. I'll go with Ollie Watkins as my dark horse.
Wow.
That's a great pick. I like that, though.
Interesting.
I really. The thing, we didn't talk about this. I don't think we did on our Philly pod, post-Philly pod. Was it endearing or was it weird that Brentford fans celebrated Ollie Watkins as much as they did when he was playing for Villa that weekend? I know he made like a huge impact on that team, got him promoted. But we had fans in front of us when he scored going just as wild for Ollie as they did when Brentford scored.
Yeah, people don't forget. Like, you got to remember who got you there.
True. Don't ever fall in love with a loney.
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. All right. We have one final segment, two final segments, because I'm sure Dylan is just chomping at the bit to tell us his bets. We're going to do our game predictions for week one. First game of the season is Friday. It is Burnley and Vincent Kompany hosting Man City. I'm assuming we're all going City so I can move on. City, 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 City. Arsenal is going to host Nottingham Forest in the second game. I got Arsenal. Michael, who do you got?
Arsenal as well. Why are we not doing the same assumption on this?
I don't know.
Okay.
Dylan?
Yeah, Arsenal.
All right. Nick?
Re-X.
All right, perfect.
I can't even say retweet anymore. Ugh.
I know.
Yeah. I actually just blew past that because I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. But I just
assumed like, it was a Nick thing.
Yeah.
No, I told you. You saw my predictions where I swore off bad jokes.
Okay. Bournemouth is hosting West Ham. I got a draw here. And I'm going to say I got a draw because I also have to move Josie onto the bed so she stops whining. But, Michael, who you got?
I also have a draw. I'm leaning towards a Bournemouth win and a convincing-ish Bournemouth win because I think that they're chomping at the bit, but I'm playing it safe with a draw here.
Yeah,
so, hammers. Ditto. All
right, I think the Tuckers both agreed with the same thing Michael said. Wow. Brighton?
No, I took West Ham.
You took West Ham?
Yeah, okay. Someone's got to be different. Cool. Dare to be first.
Brighton's hosting Luton. I got Luton winning the first game of the year and none others. Nope, I'm just kidding. Brighton with a dub here. Let's go Nick with the next one.
Got to go with the Gulls first weekend.
Yeah, you're jewelry obligated to now, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. Nick or Dylan?
Stateside Seagulls.
Love that. Stateside Seagulls. Shout out to Alex Hal Tucker. Michael, who you got?
Brighton win, James Milner, 89th minute yellow card. 100%.
What a good prediction. Everton and Fulham, I got a draw here. Dylan, what do you got in this one?
I took Everton. Coming out of the gates hot. Deitch ball.
Michael?
Everton.
Nick?
Fulham with a Mitro substitute winner.
He's back.
He went in. Yeah, he subbed in the other day.
Yeah, I know. He is.
Wow,
back.
What a stance! I'll never play for them again.
Such a strong constitution, that Mitro.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. Sheffield United is hosting Crystal Palace. I spoke to Jack Pierce of the FYP podcast today, so I have Palace on the brain. I'm going Palace. I also think Sheffield United is dog water. So there's my prediction. Michael, who you got?
First game of the year, home game for Sheffield United, I got the Blades.
Wow. Wow. You're allowed to do that now because Wilder's gone, too.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah. Dylan, who you got?
Palace.
Nick?
Got the Blades with a smash and grab late.
Love it. Newcastle Villa. We saw this live. We saw this live already. I got a draw. I think both these teams are going to find their feet at some point, but I don't think this is the game. I got to draw. Dylan, who you got?
Same thing. I think we see a 3-3 tie.
Yeah. Nick?
I got Newcastle.
Michael?
I also have Newcastle. I think they don't deserve the win, though.
Ooh. Love that. Brentford hosting Spurs. Man, I really want to take Brentford, but I got Tottenham. Because Harry Kane will be playing the first half of the season at the very least, and I think he scores one, if not two. Michael, who you got?
I also have Spurs.
Dylan?
Spurs.
Nick?
To dare is to do.
Love it. Chelsea, Liverpool, the only match of top six teams, traditional top six teams, our first week. It is at Stamford Bridge. Michael, lead us off with this one. Who you got?
I have Liverpool. I actually think as much as a first game of the year can be incredibly important, this is incredibly important.
For both teams.
I think if we lose this game, all the good work that we have maybe done from the end of last year till now, there is an immediate sour taste in the mouth a little bit.
Dylan, you got?
Looks like you're having some ward heads because I'm taking Chelsea.
Oh, man.
Home on Poch's debut, I think they find a way.
Good point. Nick.
I'm going to be taking Liverpool with an addition to bold prediction that Poch wins his first silverware in England, winning the FA Cup.
For Tottenham?
No, with Chelsea. His first.
Whoa. I got MIB'd right there. Like, my brain just went totally out. Chelsea Liverpool. I got Liverpool. I got 6-3 Liverpool. There's gonna be a lot of like
Jesus.
Be a lot of football scores.
Well, I gotta look up that over.
and then
wait, hold on. Why do you think that? Because the past like six games we've played have been 0-0.
Yeah, man. I think Klopp's bored and he's just like, put up the points, baby. Put up the points. Last game of the week, we are treated to an early Tucker Family Derby. Man United is going to host Wolves. Nick, I'll let you go first here as Dylan looks up if he can hit that over on Chelsea Liverpool. Who you got in your Family Derby?
Glory, glory, Man United.
Yeah, okay. Dylan?
United's going to win 1-0, scoring between the 80th and 90th minute like they always do. It'll be heartbreaking.
Yeah, true.
Just won't be as much fun because I'm not going to be there next to you to dance around the apartment right in front of your face when it happens.
I have to work during it. It's going to be unfortunate.
Yeah, that sucks. Michael, who you got in this one?
Dylan, that might be your father's Wolves, but this is not your father's Wolves. I think this is a beatdown.
I think I might take the over in this one.
You're acting out from a place of hurt because I went at you, so I get it.
Oh, you didn't go at me.
Dylan, on the bright side, you have a weekend full of betting you can do on the Premier League yet again. Where are we starting with Dylan Tucker's betting corner in season 4 of the NAFTA podcast?
So before I dive in, is anyone going to take the jump and join me this year, or is it strictly just me throwing everything out?
No, I think that you and I think I will be diving in deep this year. I think you just caught me at a very busy week when it comes to doing other stuff for this podcast, but I'm not complaining about editing.
Well, first off, to answer your question for 6-3, it will only let me go over 5.5, and that's at plus 800. So you don't even need 6-3 to get there.
Let's roll.
All right, so I have four. I have two Premier League ones and two championship ones, because I've decided we're going to dominate the championship as well, since I might as well start scouting it for next year. So Man City to have a clean sheet, minus 115 is the first one. You'll see I went very conservative with the Premier League ones, because I need to see what these teams look like before it really start getting wild. And then we'll do, probably, I'm going to take a guess at who you think screws this one up. City, Arsenal, Brighton, parlayed together, plus 109.
No, I mean, yeah.
And then in the city, sorry, in the championship, we're going to take at plus 100 Cardiff City to beat Queen's Park Rangers. They're terrible, Queen's Park Rangers. So whoever's going against them, I'm probably just going to take. So we're going to finish there. And then lastly, we're going to take Watford and Plymouth. Both looked good last week. Both teams to score minus 125.
Love it. Love it. The championship betting will be very interesting. I know that we're doing a championship table this year for the first time ever as well. I will fully admit, I think I'm going to do terrible at that. I think championship is a total blind spot. Nick,
I will jump in. I will jump in with Dylan on betting, right around Thanksgiving time with the championship. I have a theory that has been somewhat successful over the last 3 or 4 seasons on that. So I will save that for early winter.
What's the theory?
Tune in to find out.
I like that marketing, Nick. I like that. All right, Dylan. First pod's done. Great job, everyone. Get us out of here with the first joke of the new season.
Since it's summer, which football team loves ice cream? Aston Vanilla. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.